So last week we watched Arrested Development, and I kind of want to go on from that. I guess it's like the chain of stuff. We watched Corner Gas, and then since it was Canadian, we watched Schitt's Creek. And then because Schitt's Creek was about a rich family that loses all their money, that made me think of Arrested Development. So I want to keep this chain going one more week, where Arrested Development made me think of this other Fox show at the time. Because, as we talked about last week, Arrested Development had a very tough time on the air, where it's just such a fast-moving show with so many moving pieces, and we found it worked pretty well if you do start from the beginning, but trying to jump in partway, and that was before streaming, before Netflix, so people just tuning in, and that was the experience I had. People just tuning in randomly had a pretty tough time with Arrested Development. So I was thinking about how a show like that that's so dense and has so many layers and so many jokes, it's interesting that as time goes on, some of those jokes start to get lost. People don't understand what they mean anymore because the context is gone. So obviously when we go back and watch Jack Benny and stuff, that's many, many decades. But even a relatively recent show like Arrested Development, I've already started to see that happening. Where I was thinking specifically, there's this joke in season 3 of Arrested Development where anytime something comes up that has the initials OC, specifically Orange County, but there's various reasons why the letters OC come up. Michael in Arrested Development would always say, "Don't call it that." Like he's just like disturbed by people saying the OC, and it's like, "Don't say OC." And I saw a thing online where people were asking, like, "I don't get this OC joke. What does that mean?" And the best people could come up with is that this Fox show that ran at the same time was called the OC, and in Orange County, people just call it OC. They don't call it the OC. So that's what people's guess was. And it's like, yeah, okay, that's true. The OC referred to Orange County improperly. And maybe that's part of the Arrested Development joke, but why would they keep bringing that up? Why would Arrested Development care about that the OC, mislabeled Orange County? Because what it really was, I can tell you because I was there, kiddies. I remember 2005. What it really was the OC show and Arrested Development started at the same time, and Arrested Development always had trouble right from the get-go, where the OC was a huge hit and just this giant teen drama. But fast forward a couple of years later, the OC's ratings are starting to falter, and Fox is trying to protect the OC because that was their popular show, to the point that they were moving the time slot of Arrested Development around to try to help promote the OC. So Arrested Development was already this beleaguered show under fire all the time. And now they're being pulled under by the freaking OC. The OC's drowning and it's taken Arrested Development down with them. And it was like a big story at the time in entertainment circles of all these Fox shows are crumbling to dust. And Fox is trying to put their money behind the OC. And just letting Arrested Development die even worse than it was already dying. So that's why the characters in the show, whenever someone says the OC, they're like, they get a shiver down their spine. They're like, don't call it that. Don't say that. Don't talk about the OC. So I thought it might be fun to watch the OC because we had such a good time with Arrested Development last week. Let's watch the competition. Let's watch the other show that came out at the same time that was the successful show. Or at least initially, where Arrested Development was the failure. However, before I make you watch the OC, because it is just a teen drama, and to be honest, I do love the OC. In a different way, I think it's a great corny teen show. But before I make you watch that, let's watch one more Arrested Development first, just so I know for sure you'll at least enjoy that, and just to refresh us on Arrested Development to see the two shows side by side.
All right, I'm game. And then we can do a comparison, which sometimes is not fair to compare, but hey, we're going to do it anyway.
Yeah, sorry, that was such a big long ramble by me, by the way, but this is a weird concept this week, so I did just sort of try to explain where my mental process is. Yeah, and these shows couldn't be more different. I don't know if you could possibly have two shows more different than, the quirky, intricate half-hour sitcom of Arrested Development and then the hour-long teen drama. Oh my God, everything is, I'm a teenager and everything is hard in the world of Orange County. They couldn't be more different. But I honestly do like both of these shows in different ways. Obviously, Arrested Development is much, much better, but in its dumb way, the OC is pretty good. So But anyway, yeah, let's watch, since last week we watched episode 1 and 2 of Arrested Development, let's watch episode 3 just to get us back in Arrested Development mindset.
Oh, good, because I wanted to see what happens with some of this inane lives that these people live.
Yeah, so as we recall from last week, there's always money in the banana stand, but in a short-sighted act of rebellion against his dad, Michael Bluth burned down the banana stand, and yeah, that's where we're at on Arrested Development.
And it literally did have money in it, 250,000, something like that.
Which is great because yeah, the dad, when he was in jail, he did, like, that's such a perfect Arrested Development joke of, you know, he said it with kind of a wink of, like, there's always money in the banana stand, you know, presumably, like, you know, because that is the origin of their family business. Like, yeah, you can always count on the banana stand. But then after he learned it had burned down, he's like, how could I have been more clear? I told you there's always money in the banana stand. And it's true. Like, he did literally say that.
But he didn't say it's in the walls.
Yeah.
Talk about communication breakdown. But that whole show is about communication breakdown.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I am predicting, of the two, Arrested Development. I don't know. I guess I'm a little curious to see, I guess, because I feel like I like the OC despite myself. You know, it's one of those shows I thought I wouldn't like, and I had to admit, like, I guess I like it. But I think you'll probably like Arrested Development probably a million times more than the OC. But I guess we'll see. So, episode 3 of Arrested Development.
Okay.
It was Sunday morning, and Michael was making corn balls, a Bluth family favorite since George Sr. unsuccessfully tried to market the device in the mid-70s.
Time to pull out the basket, and we dig into some hot...
Son of a bitch! Oh, look what you did! Oh. You popped it! You caught with you! You're
missing! Uh-oh, did it freeze on your end, too?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, it's literally the last few seconds of the show.
Yeah, it's
That's funny, because, yeah, we just... something went wrong with our version of the show, where literally the last 10 seconds of the show just didn't have audio, but I bet we missed a joke in there. I bet they squeezed one in there. But yeah, I love too, that episode is reminding me of, it's one of the things that Arrested Development does where even if it's not like a joke, just the way they intertwine stuff is just kind of like delightful to your brain, you know, like all the stuff with the dress kept tying into different stuff and the cornballer and even just that's a little cornball, you know, while he's making a small ball of corn. And
each character in this show is so different and it's almost embarrassing. I mean, you're sitting in a room all by yourself watching them, but you're almost embarrassed to be watching them because they're just so inept. And it's like, oh, like you're just moaning for them because you don't even have to interact with other people. It's just the way that they respond to things. You're like, oh my God, I can't believe that they're behaving like that, or how embarrassing that is. It's very well done.
I love too just the interactions between the characters where, you know, Lucille, the mom, has made it pretty clear already that she doesn't like Job, you know, the oldest son. Like she even said last episode, like, I don't care for Job. But the things that they do connect on, where Job got kicked out by his girlfriend and the mom's like, all right, you got 3 days until you find somewhere else to live. And Job, just the worst thing you could ever say of like, hey, if I can't find another horny immigrant in 3 days, I don't deserve to stay here. And that's when the mom connects with him. She's like, ah, that is pretty funny. Like, they're just the worst people. So as far as jumping to the OC, you know, usually I do a big rundown on these shows of like, here's all the stats, here's the details, here's the blah, blah, blahs. But in this case, and again, I feel like these are all weird things for me to say because like I said, I do like the OC, but it's such a corporate, just Fox teen drama. I don't even think it's worth getting into the details. Like, who cares? Basically, it started in 2003. It ran a little longer than Arrested Development, like 4 years, but it was like a huge phenomenon, like a national hit, and then it just died out, and then it got canceled. But yeah, as far as like who made it and the blah blah productions, who gives a shit? But this show really is like the perfect time capsule of 2003. Like the music is the perfect music, the style is the perfect style. It's like I always think about how like if you had to have like the quintessential 90s show, it would be Friends. Friends is like, that's what the 90s was like. The OC is what the 2000s were like. If you were a teenager in the 2000s, the OC is your life. So, yeah, again, I predict you will not enjoy this show as much, but I don't know, because again, I was surprised that I liked it, so maybe you will, but you will see.
Yeah, who knows? Well, I'll go in blind and see what I think.
So yeah, we're watching episode one. It's called Premiere of the OC. Excellent theme song too. The theme song of the OC is an all-timer. It's great.
Am I looking at this that you have an episode four of the other one?
Yeah, because I kind of thought maybe after the OC as a palate cleanser, especially if you don't like it.
Okay, good enough.
Maybe we'll have one more Arrested Development to cap things off.
Okay. Checking in the OC.
You could do worse. You okay? They treating you all right? Where's my brother? Trey is over 18. Trey stole a car, Trey had a gun in his pants, and has a pot in his jacket, a couple of priors. I'm guessing right now Trey is looking to 3 to 5 years, but Trey's not my concern. It's your first time in lockup. I'm assuming you don't plan on coming back. Your grades are not great. Suspended twice, fighting truancy 3 times. Your test scores, 98th percentile in your SAT ones. Brian, 98th percentile, if you start going to class, are you thinking about college?
Have you given any thought at all? That's kind of funny. I never noticed that why would I ever notice this? But the producer of that show was named Judith Blume, like Judy Blume, but obviously not. So what'd you think about your introduction to the dramatic world of the OC?
Well, I thought it was okay. Obviously, you get that South California opulence, which you see in a lot of shows where everybody's got too much of everything except this young fella. But it was okay. It was okay.
It's actually kind of funny because I really never watched these shows together. Like, I didn't watch the OC until later, till after they probably had been canceled, actually. So I never really thought of them together, this show and Arrested Development. But they are weirdly similar, of like the rich family, the housekeepers and all this stuff. But then instead of like Buster being a total weirdo, you get Seth, who's like, yeah, he's the quote unquote total weirdo who's actually cool and handsome. And, you know, and yeah, nobody's particularly mean. Like the soft edges on this show. Like, I guess what I like about this show is that if this is the type of show you want to watch, they've turned all the knobs up to 10. You know, it's got all the stereotypes of a teen show, all of the stuff that you just, you know, the kid from the wrong side of town, and now he's in the rich place, and they go to the party, and oh, the girl next door, and she's dating this jerk, and all this stuff just happens, like, immediately. But on the other hand, it's, like, so soft. Like, the kid from the wrong side of the tracks is actually a genius who's just misunderstood, and he's so nice and polite, and he's just a pretty little hangdog of a boy, and everything is just so easy and so nice.
It's it's this same theme, same storyline as Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Yeah, it is. I never thought about that, but it is.
Yeah. You know, Will Smith from the wrong side of the tracks, the poor side of the tracks, goes and lives with the wealthy family. The characterization, too, is pretty one level. You know, you get all the beautiful girls who are willing to strip off all their clothes at the party and dance around in their underwear, and the macho boyfriend with the big black truck who's really a prick who will go out and try to screw everybody else, even though he's got a girlfriend who's... So they're obviously going to just zero in on certain characters, like the young fella, the girl next door, the son, and the parents in the rich house. Everybody else is pretty, you don't see characterizations like you do in Arrested Development. I mean, every one of those characters, of the six or seven of them, every one of them, they have developed really strong character traits in each of those, whereas in this show, they haven't. And I suspect as the show goes on, you'll have your two or three main characters, but they don't have the same depth to them as the rest of Development.
Yeah, even though it was just coincidence, I think it's funny that we watched the Arrested Development episode about the cornballer and all the references to like, ah, it's a little cornball. And then we watched the most cornball show you could ever have. Because, yeah, everyone in the OC is an absolute stereotype, just a 100% stereotype. But they don't even, I don't know, I think that's the thing too, is as much as I like the OC for being just that show, giving you that pure hit of teen drama nonsense, but I don't think I ever actually even got to season two, because you just can't maintain that. Like, they just, they hit you with everything so hard in this first episode. It's like, where is there to go from here? And it's all the stereotypical places. It's all the normal stuff. And the soft edges don't stop, where it's like, even the bully, Marissa's boyfriend, who's like the asshole, he ends up being like, just like this goofball part of the gang. And I was so disappointed by that, because it's like, that guy is a stereotype. He's here to be the cocky blonde guy. He's here to punch you in the face and make sure you don't get with his girlfriend. He's not supposed to be your friend. Like, once that guy became part of like a friendly part of the group, I feel like that's where I drifted off, because I'm like, man, yeah, this show is, I don't know. But I still do like it. You know, I like that they set out to make this type of show. We just want, it's like that joke from The Simpsons, making teens depressed is like shooting fish in a barrel. Like, you just have the sad music and like, oh no, he can't stay at his mom's house. His family's mean to him. He has to go live in the beautiful mansion in the OC with this cool lawyer. And even the cool lawyer's hard ass wife is like, at most, she tutted slightly. Like, it's such a dumb show.
And the girls who supposedly are the good friends of the neighborhood girl, they bring her home and they can't find her keys. And oh, she's going to get into trouble, but they just leave her there laying on the sidewalk. Like, if they were really strong, good friends, they would never do that. They would somehow find some way to maybe go to the neighbor's house next door so she could sleep it off in the pool house, or they wouldn't just leave her there on the sidewalk, but they're so vapid. They're real valley girls.
Yeah, it's almost, it's like slightly admirable. I guess that's what I'd say about this show. It's admirable to just wear it on your sleeve that like, this is all we're here to do. We are just here to do a boilerplate, slick, glossy teen show with all the tropes. And here it is. Yeah. So yeah, I feel like I have nothing but backhanded compliments for the OC. But at the same time, I like it. I like that stupid show.
Well, and if you want to just watch a show that doesn't have a whole lot of depth to it, and you don't walk away thinking about it all night or waking up in the night saying, oh man, like, what was the message that I missed in that thing? And I've got to watch it again because there's something there that I'm missing. Oh no, you're not missing anything. It's all laid right out for you. Sit back and enjoy it. Get yourself used to seeing a very opulent lifestyle that most people aren't even in that world. But hey, apparently in Orange County, everybody is.
I can understand, though, why this show started off as a huge hit. And then by the end, people had fallen off. And, you know, it did last a little longer than Arrested Development. But they ironically kind of shared the same fate. Ultimately, they ultimately both just got canceled because people stopped watching. And in the case of the OC, I can understand because, like I said, I think I only got through season one. And I'm a little curious about later on, because apparently, spoilers, in case anyone cares, spoilers for the OC, that girl, the next door girl, Marissa, she left the show. The actress left the show. So at the end of season three, she like dies in a car crash or something. And I've heard people say that the final season is actually better. Like, it's better once they got her character out of there, and it kind of became a darker show of like dealing with the repercussions of someone died. But I can't imagine getting there. You know, like, this is a great little piece of candy to watch, but to watch season two and then to watch season three, it feels like climbing Everest. How am I going to sit there and watch that many episodes of this show? You know, I don't think I'll ever get there.
And it had a stereotypical plot that you've seen many times too before, you know, the party scene and the fight, and the boy has to go back to the life that he lived before. I mean, how many times have we seen that kind of stuff? And I said it was, its major theme was like Prince of Bel-Air, but the difference between Prince of Bel-Air is it had excellent writing. really good writing. And if you've got that good writing, it'll carry you forth. But if you don't have something that is special or has some depth to the writing, it won't last. It doesn't have lasting power because you just keep sort of doing the same thing over and over and over again.
It's funny too, where one thing I've been noticing lately, where I think maybe people are, you know, trying to flesh out characters or make them more complicated, but it can backfire, where I've noticed a lot lately with characters that are like anti-heroes or are a little bit like difficult or strange, but then they just come off legitimately unlikable. Like, I've run into that a lot lately where I'm like, how is this person the main character? I hate this person. Where the OC is too far the other way. That kid Ryan has no problems. He's fit, he's handsome, he's polite, he's smart. He quote unquote comes from the wrong side of the tracks. He comes from this bad part of town and this tough life, but he's very obviously just like Tiger Beat magazine. You know, he's just there so a 12-year-old girl can have a crush on him and he can be the bad boy, but there's nothing bad about him. He's the nicest. Like, he's just like, I don't know. He's such a weird character where I can understand why all the OC people are just kind of vapid stereotypes, but it's just weird how they claim this guy is from this rough past, stealing a car, yada, yada. But also, not a surprise, but his mom, his brother, essentially never come back because it's so incongruous. None of that actually informs his character at all. He's just a nice boy. I thought that was a very weird choice. Like, they could have given him, I don't know, the fact that he smokes is the worst thing. They could have given him a little edge. But anyway, there you go. There's the show that... understandably, the Arrested Development team was a bit perturbed by the fact that America embraced the OC. They were like, yeah, we don't want this complicated, clever show. We just want the OC. And then even worse, like 3 years down the road, when the OC is failing, then Fox put all their effort and all their money and all their promotion behind the OC because I don't know why Arrested Development even got on the air in the first place, because it's clear Fox didn't want them and wasn't going to support them. And then both shows drowned together. So that's the tale of Arrested Development versus the OC. So to cap things off, should we just watch another episode of Arrested Development?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right, so we'll just end off the podcast here. But yeah, we're going to watch episode 4 now. And yeah, that was kind of my idea from the get-go, was like, well, if I'm going to make you watch this corny-ass teen show, at least, you know, at least we can also watch Arrested Development.